Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. One of the many beautiful lines from today's first reading. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm a little more familiar with the older translation. It used to say, let the word of Christ, rich as it is, dwell in you. It's a very important admonishment to let the word of Christ dwell in us, the rich word of Christ dwell in us. Because if we don't let the word of Christ dwell in us, some other word will dwell in us. The word of Christ or the word antichrist? The word or the anti-word? The truth or anti-truth? It sounds theoretical perhaps, but you can think of it. Think of the sorts of thoughts that enter your mind or remain in your heart. Sometimes they're good. They're the word of Christ. Thoughts of goodness, thoughts of patience, thoughts of mercy, thoughts of generosity, service. And sometimes they're not good. Selfishness, complaint, pride, greed, whatever. Self-serving attitudes that creep in. So what Paul is telling us here is to make sure we make space for this word of Christ. Now, some more fundamentalistic Christians take this to the extreme of saying, don't read anything but the Bible. Don't read anything but the Bible. Don't read any works of fiction or old Greek mythologies or any. Just read the Bible, and you can read scientific manuals too. You can read things for your work, but don't read anything but the Bible, because everything else is not the word of Christ. That's not a Catholic approach. A Catholic approach would be to say, whatever's compatible with the word of Christ, whatever is beautiful, whatever is true, whatever conveys something of God's plan, that's word of Christ. So it's a very broad approach. And anything that doesn't, and there's a lot that doesn't, don't give it any space. Don't take in a word that contradicts truth or contradicts beauty or contradicts the word of God. Well, today's readings are rich. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The first reading is rich. The gospel is rich. The gospel, though, is also very contradictory. You can't help but feel it if you let it dwell in you, because Jesus is telling us to live in a way that contradicts our natural inclinations so sharply. He's telling us to do the opposite of what we would naturally do. What we naturally do is give to those who give to us, and we don't give to those who don't give to us. We're kind to those who are kind to us. We're not kind to those who are not kind to us. That comes naturally to us. But that's not the word of Christ. That's just the word of man. That's the word of our own fallen nature. So Jesus says something that doesn't come naturally to us. He says, make a gift of yourself even to the person who is not making a gift of himself to you, the one who's taking from you. Now that doesn't make any sense to us. How could we live like that? People would just take advantage of us. We'll end up with nothing. That's not word of Christ. That reaction is not word of Christ. Word of Christ is, you have already received from God so much. You can't be, even if someone takes everything you have, you're still rich. Because you have the grace of God, the mercy of God, the life of God in you. Even if some person takes advantage of you, you're still not the loser. See, Jesus' reasoning, if you want to call it that, this divine reasoning, is not that we should just give until we have nothing left, but that we have already been given so much that we have a lot to give. This is made clear in Paul's words here in the first reading. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. So it starts with the Lord forgiving us, not with us forgiving people who offend us. Starts with the Lord giving to us, not with us giving to others and not expecting repayment. When Jesus says at the end of today's gospel, the measure with which you measure will in turn be measured out to you, it doesn't express the first measure. That's the measure after we have already received. Or we have already received without measure. Then, and that's God's goodness to us. He does that just out of his sheer goodness, not because we deserve it at all, but he has already poured into our lap in overflowing measure. Now he's expecting us to cooperate with that system, to be like that. And that's why he says, the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. In other words, if we cooperate, if we participate in this overflowing gift, well, then we'll be able to grow in it. And if we don't, well, then we're the ones who block the very gift of God. We block it for ourselves as well as for others. Well, that's behind some of these contradictory statements about giving to those who are taking and loving those who don't love us, and loving our enemies and those who mistreat us. It's not ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous on a natural level. But if we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, we'll start to see the beauty of this, the divine logic of it. And if we start to live this way, we start to realize how freeing it is. You see, if we let the word of man dwell in us, the word of our own fallen nature and the attitude of the world, what happens is we get burdened by the offenses and the demands and the needs that seem impossible to meet, and we start protecting ourselves, keeping for ourselves, defending ourselves. And that's a very tiresome way to live. But if we can let go of that and let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, then even if we do lose something, well, it's not such a big loss. God's taking care of us. I think this is what kept St. Peter Claver going so long in such a thankless ministry. You know, St. Peter Claver, he served the absolute poorest of the poor. And even his own compatriots and his colleagues in his own religious order thought he was being ridiculous. They thought he was overextending himself. You know, why do so much for these people who are at the bottom rung? In fact, some people didn't even think that the black slaves were people. They considered them as a kind of high animals. So, but Peter Claver was giving of what he had received. He wasn't doing it in order to get from them or in order to impress anybody or to make his colleagues like him. He was giving what he had received. And this is what it says in the collect for his feast day. O God, who made St. Peter Claver a slave of slaves and strengthened him with wonderful charity and patience as he came to their help. So where did it come from? It came from God. God strengthened him with wonderful charity and patience, and Peter Claver just let that flow to the slaves. Did he feel like he was being diminished by that? No. He might have felt tired, I'm sure. He felt exasperated at times, I'm sure. But he wasn't depleted by giving of himself, because God strengthened him with wonderful charity and patience. So let's let this word of Christ dwell in us richly, as in all wisdom we teach and admonish one another, singing hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. And whatever we do in word or in deed, let us do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Through him, amen.